Good morning. Just wanted to share a praise before I get into the message. I was driving around yesterday, and you all know how rainy it was. It was senior picture day for AJ, Mr. AJ Aloka, so I was driving around to get that done. And just as we pulled into a parking lot, my windshield wipers quit. Fortunately, that was one answer to prayer that we were parked when it happened, and I've noticed my wipers have been getting a little iffy lately, but they just dead flat quit. And it's raining, and we just went in to have lunch, and I'm thinking, okay, car ends up stranded in Dededo, of all places. I'm preaching tomorrow. I'm picking up an extra person, this young Navy man that's with us this morning. Okay, Lord, you need to kind of help here. Some things need to happen. So we came out after lunch, and just a quick prayer. Lord, I'd really appreciate it if the wipers would work. And they resurrected. They came back from the dead. And also, the other part of the prayer answer was the rain stopped, or at least it slowed to almost nothing. And shelter kind of followed us just to make sure shelter was up there as well. And made it, kind of limped home, but made it home. So the prayer this morning was either, number one, no rain, Lord, or if it's raining, please let the wipers work. So it was kind of eventually no rain. So that prayer was answered. And then when it did start to rain a little bit, thank the Lord, the wipers worked again. So I was able to pick up young Elijah and Brother Dave and be able to make it here. So thanks be to God for resurrection of windshield wipers and just the little things that God does just to remind you that he's there, you know, day to day. And the funny thing that happened in the picture taking was I was in on some of what they called the casual pictures. And one of them, AJ had the letter sign in script that said senior. Yeah. You guys, I don't need to tell you what the funny thing was about that, yeah. So we had a couple shots with him holding the senior, and just as a joke, I had him do one with him pointing at me, because he was holding it, but I had him do one finger toward me. Unfortunately, that one didn't come out quite so good, so we had to toss that one, but we had some fun with the senior thing, but yeah. Well, let's pray and get into our message this morning. Father, we're thankful to be here this morning. And Lord, I would just ask that you help me get out of the way so you'll speak through me to the people here. Help us to understand we really need to be careful and discerning when we're seeking your will, to not succumb to shortcuts that look good. Look like things we should do to kind of, quote unquote, help you out sometimes. Help us to be able to see those, to avoid them, and to really stand firm in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the two scriptures that I'm kind of working off this morning. The first is from 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 to 7, the NIV, 1 Samuel 24, 1 to 7. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken that he had cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lift my hand against him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. And then from 1 Samuel 26, verses 5 through 12, 1 Samuel 26, 5 through 12. Then David set out and went to a place where Saul had camped. He saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of the army, had laid down. Saul was laying inside the camp with the army encamped around him. David then asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, "Will you go down into the camp with me to Saul?" "I'll go with you," said Abishai. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go." So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. The scripture of the Lord. Shortcuts. We've all taken them or thought about taking them. When I first came to Guam, I understood pretty quickly that it was one of the favorite sports on Guam was shortcuts for trips, because I would ask, "Where do I get to such and such a place?" And they would say, "Well, you could go on Marine Corps Drive, but," and then would proceed to give me various ways to do a shortcut. So it became apparent that was kind of a favorite thing on Guam. Sometimes it was a big help. Sometimes it really messed me up. And when it's just something like that, it's fairly harmless to do that kind of a shortcut. But if you're doing a shortcut, if you're an architect or a contractor, and you do some shortcuts on a building, that can have pretty disastrous effects. And we've read in the paper occasionally sometimes that does happen. A contractor will cheat a little bit on the contract, use inferior materials, a few shortcuts here and there, and then disaster ensues later. So some shortcuts can be very, very harmful. Sometimes just a little unpleasant. You do maybe a little shortcut on a recipe. You don't have quite what you need. You try something else, do a little shortcut, and it turns out not quite poisoning your family, but they tell you don't ever, ever make that again. So there are shortcuts, and then there are shortcuts. And in this case, we're going to look at the life of David and how he avoided a big shortcut, a circumstance that looked like God had laid it out handsomely for him to get rid of an enemy that was really bothering him and someone who flat out wanted to kill him. But David sees it, no, as not God's way. Easily could have taken one of two shortcuts that were offered to him, but he did not. And so we want to focus on how to do that, how to follow David's example. First, let's look at some people who did take some shortcuts. In the Old Testament, first off, Abraham in Genesis 12 and 20. And remember, we're talking about the man here, Abraham, father of the nation of Israel. And not once, but twice, he lies about Sarah not being his wife, but being his sister, to kind of save his own skin, really, because he puts Sarah in danger both times. And Sarah is going to be the mother of the later descendants of the nation. And so this was pretty dumb by Abraham. And he does it not once, but he does it twice. So that was a shortcut that could have been very disastrous, but the Lord intervened both times. And our friend King Saul, throughout a good portion of his life, he was kind of geared to shortcuts. The most damaging to him took place in 1 Samuel 13. He had promised, or Saul, in 1 Samuel 13, he had promised Samuel that he would wait until Samuel came to do a sacrifice, sacrifice to God before a battle, so that it would be blessed. And Samuel, for one reason or another, was delayed, and Saul waited and waited and waited, and his army was getting very antsy, and he was kind of afraid there was going to be even perhaps a rebellion. So Saul went ahead and did the sacrifice himself. And when Samuel came, he was very, very angry. And Saul wasn't even apologetic. He was just throwing out excuses as to why he did it, but didn't really even ask for forgiveness, and the battle went poorly. And Samuel basically, in a sense, took the anointing off Saul, and he basically told him his time was limited, his days were numbered as king. So that was a really faulty decision on Saul's part, and a shortcut that cost him dearly. And our friend David, unfortunately, even though he does very well in 1 Samuel 24 and 26, he took a shortcut with a woman named, you might remember, Bathsheba. That was a shortcut that proved disastrous, and he paid for it pretty much the rest of his career. And even in the middle of the two instances of 24 and 26, there's a story about a man named Nabal and his wife Abigail. And in this case, David comes within an eyelash of taking a shortcut, and that's killing Nabal, because Nabal blows off David, shows great disrespect to David, says, "Who is David?" You know, kind of taunting him. And David wants to send 400 men to go get Nabal. And God bless Abigail, she intervenes and she helps David not commit murder against Nabal. And the Lord takes care of Nabal in his own way and in his own time. And David ends up actually marrying Abigail on top of it. So David, and we know David is not perfect, so he had a near miss there in chapter 25, squeezed right in between these two instances where he really did rise to the top. In the New Testament, there was a man called Simon the Sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. He thought he could buy the Holy Spirit, buy the power of the Holy Spirit with money, and that got in him to a world of trouble. And then Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, theirs was a shortcut in giving to God, and they suffered the ultimate consequence in that. So think about that when you're headed back to the offering plate, okay? I want you to read Acts 5 before you go, and then think about how much you're going to put. No, I'm kidding, sort of. And then there were those who avoided shortcuts. Again, Abraham, he wasn't always cheating or doing the wrong thing, obviously. In Genesis 22, the story with Isaac, where he went all the way to the point where he was, I believe, really willing to sacrifice his son, and the Lord held him at the last moment and said, "No, no, I will provide the sacrifice." So he absolutely did not take that shortcut. He believed, he trusted God, even when God asked him to do something very hard. Paul the Apostle, throughout his life, avoided shortcuts. There were many times he could have done different things in his ministry, compromised his stand on various things, especially circumcision and duty to the law, which got him in all kinds of trouble with the Judaizers, those that believed that you needed to hold firm to the Mosaic law. Even if you were a Christian, you still needed to hold fast to the Mosaic law. And Paul could have compromised again and again, never did. Paul was consistently avoiding shortcuts. And of course, Jesus, our ultimate example from Luke 22, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." That's sort of the ultimate example. So let's go to the scripture that we shared in these two incidents in the life of David where he did set a shining example of not taking a shortcut. In setting the scene, Saul has been chasing David all over the place. 3,000 men Saul has gathered to chase David. He wants David as dead can be. And in 1 Samuel 24, David and his men are hiding in a cave. We don't know exactly where this cave might have been. It might have been the cave of Adullam, where he often hid, but we're not exactly sure. And you see the illustrations there. And I find it interesting that the artist, the top picture, shows Saul sleeping when David cuts off his robe. But Saul is not sleeping when David cuts off his robe. He's doing something else. He is to be blunt, because the scripture is blunt, he's going to the bathroom. He is taking a moment, seeing a man about a vehicle, you know, that kind of thing. And I think the artist was not wanting to maybe depict that, so he sort of squashed 24 and 26 together. And so you see Saul sleeping as he cuts off his robe, but he was actually otherwise occupied. But it gives you the sense of just how close he was to Saul and how easy it would have been for him to kill him. But he ends up just cutting off his robe, and then later in the chapter he holds up the robe and actually talks to Saul and says, "My lord the king, this is how close I was to you and how easy it would have been for me to kill you, and yet I did not." And Saul apologizes and kind of repents, fake repenting, because he says, "Oh, David, come back, and I've seen the errors of my ways." And then, you know, two chapters later, he's at it again. And in 1 Samuel 26, they find out where Saul's army is, and it's at night, and David gets Abishai to go with him to go into the camp to kind of check things out. And they're all in a deep sleep. And the scripture says the Lord put them in a deep sleep. And so they wander up, and Abishai says, "Well, you don't have to do this, David. I'll do it. I'll take him out." And he's very confident. He says, "I won't have to strike him twice. Like, one blow will take care of it." And David says, No. Let's not do that. This is the Lord's anointed. He keeps coming back to that. This is the man that God appointed through Samuel years ago to be the king of Israel. So David stands absolutely firm on this statement God made earlier, relying on the word of God, if you will, that this was the king of Israel, and he did not think it was his place to take Saul out, even though this looked like a beautiful opportunity to do so. So Saul's spear is jammed right next to his head where he's sleeping, and he decides just to take the water jug that's near his head and his spear, and his second-in-command is also sleeping right next to him. And he does the same thing again. He says, "Hey, Saul, my lord the king, item number two, I had a chance again to kill you and did not. Here's your spear and your water jug." And he's also kind of taunting his second-in-command, "Hey, you're not taking care of the king very well, bud." But he emphasizes to Saul again, "I was this close, didn't kill you. Why do you keep pursuing me?" And Saul goes back to his, "I'm sorry, David, I was wrong. Come back home." And David knows not to believe that. But in both instances, the circumstances looked just perfect to take Saul out. And because David doesn't, this goes on for a while. I mean, Saul continues to chase David throughout a good bulk of his life, and almost until the end of Saul's days. And Saul is taken care of. We'll mention that a little bit later. The Lord does take care of Saul in his time and in his way. So how do we avoid shortcuts? I've got three key words for you: remember, discern, and decide. First, remember. Remember what God has said. One thing David remembered was that this man was anointed to be king. Saul had been anointed. In 1 Samuel 10, Samuel anoints Saul, so David knew that. And in 1 Samuel 26, 9-11, he says that again, that David knows Saul is the anointed one, and he knows that God will deal with him in his own way. And David is convinced that he's not to be part of that way, that God will do something else. He says either he will die in battle or something else will happen, but he's 100% convinced this is not God's will for me to do this. So we remember, in helping us not take shortcuts, remember what God has said. And David also knew that he had been anointed, that at some point he would be king. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel anoints David. But of course, this doesn't happen until much later. He's quite young when he's anointed. But that's another of the word of God that he's remembering, that, yeah, he's going to be king, but it's not going to happen from me murdering Saul. And then David remembered God's character, and we need to remember God's character in avoiding shortcuts. In 1 Samuel 17, David says this about God as he's about to fight Goliath. The God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. So David, even early on, was convinced that God was there to be with him and to be for him. In 1 Samuel 24 and verse 15, David believed God would vindicate him and deliver him from Saul's attempts to kill him. That's in the 15th verse. He states that he just knows God is going to vindicate him. In 1 Samuel 23 and 26, verses 23 and 24, David says he believes God will reward him if he is faithful and righteous. He will reward me if I am faithful and righteous. And he holds on fast to that. And you know what? Even Saul knew the truth. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 20, he says, I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. So he even kind of gets the word of God from an unlikely place, from Saul himself, that confirms that, David, you will be king, but taking Saul's life on your own is not the route to go. So that's the first thing we do in avoiding these shortcuts, is to remember. Remember what God has said. Remember his character. Second, to discern. Be very careful in reading the circumstances around you. God seemed to hand Saul over to him. In 1 Samuel 26, verse 12, it says that God had put Saul and his men into a deep sleep. So you talk about God helping out to give you this perfect situation to do this thing. God was the one who put them to sleep. So that would be a way to rationalize and say, the Lord put him to sleep. I guess I'm supposed to take Saul out. But again, David keeps coming back to, this is not God's will for my life. Also, be very careful about input from friends and advisors. When it became clear I was going to come to Guam, or was about 80% sure that that's where God was leading me, of course I was going to close friends that were believers and people that I cared about and trusted, and they were all over the place. And I think mostly it was from their own experience. I kind of found that people that hadn't traveled much thought I was nuts. People that had traveled quite a bit wondered what was the big deal. So some of it was from their own experience. But be very careful in that input you get from other people. You will hear from God, but you have to be discerning, because sometimes people will share more their own thoughts than what they think God is really telling them that you should do. In 1 Samuel 24, verse 4, David's men say this to him as he's knowing that he's got Saul in a very vulnerable position. And gentlemen, you know, when you are having to relieve yourselves, you're in a fairly vulnerable position, am I right? And he knows Saul's very vulnerable, could be easily taken out. So his men say, this is what they say to him, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. So where in the Bible did he say that? Nowhere I could find. That's not to say the Lord maybe didn't say that to David at some point. This is an argument from silence, as they call it. But I didn't see anywhere in the scripture that's quoted anyway, where God says this, where the men say, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said, I will give your enemy into your hands. I think what the men were saying was, or reminding David, there have been times David would pray, Lord, should I go up against the Amalekites? Yes, go up, you will defeat them. Lord, should I go up against the Philistines? Yes, go up, I will defeat them. I think they were maybe using that as kind of a paraphrase. And sometimes your friends will do that too, or people will do that. They will kind of reword things so that you kind of think you're hearing from God. But be careful about the input that you get. And make sure you sort it out from what you know of God's word, what you know of his character, and what you really sense God is doing in terms of pointing you in a particular direction. In 1 Samuel 26:8, Abishai wants to kill Saul for David. That way, the blood is not on his hands. He says, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. But David keeps coming back to, no, 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 this is the Lord's anointed. I'm not supposed to be part of how his life ends. I'm not to do that directly. Even though, again, the circumstances just look beautifully open for him to do this. Abishai would kill him. Not my problem. I didn't kill him. It was Abishai. I couldn't stop Abishai. But he says no. And then finally, decide. And that's just decide not to take the shortcut. If God has convinced you of his will in a particular direction and what you need to do or not do, decide to hold to the original directions from God. God's original path for you, that which you know to be true. Psalm 119:105, your word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet. And Isaiah 55, you see it there, verses 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Nothing could be clearer as far as the truth goes than this situation for David, that God had a different plan for taking Saul out, for removing him from the landscape, and that David was not to be the one. So in terms of application, I just want you to think, and I've been thinking too this week, what shortcuts might I be taking in my relationship with God? Maybe my prayer and devotional time, maybe I'm doing some shortcutting there, not spending the time or coming up with excuses. Being involved with the church, being regular at worship, and I know there's challenges with COVID, so I'm not saying anything to people that are concerned about the pandemic situation, but you understand what I'm saying. Serving others, do we sometimes do shortcuts with that? Again, excuses, or I don't have the time, or things like that. Evangelism, do we avoid chances to share? We had the testimony of Ellis doing some sharing with AC guys. Are we taking opportunities, or do we just say, I don't know, Lord, I'm not sure how that person's going to react. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Shortcuts with your family in the way you deal with your husband or your wife, fathers and mothers to the children. Kids are good at shortcuts. And parents, part of your job is to help them avoid shortcuts in life, but maybe you're doing some shortcuts with your kids. Or at work, are you cheating on the job a little bit? A little lie, a little white lie here and there to get through the day, a little period of laziness, or just not following through on orders, being a little sloppy how you do your job. If you're taking any of the shortcuts, stop. Just confess to God, repent, turn back to him. 1 John 1:8-9 is always a good one for when you need to clear the decks with God. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That'll get you back to square one. Just to go back to the passage again in 1 Samuel 26:9-11 as we wrap up this morning. But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed." Those of you that know the story, do you remember what happened to Saul? 1 Samuel 31, he's wounded in battle, and he ends up taking his own life. Now, is that God's irony, or is that God's irony? Not only did David not need to lay a hand on him, but Saul himself took himself out. To me, that has God's fingerprint smeared all over it. That's how God works. He gets wounded in battle and then ends his own life. And David said, "The Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish." That's somebody who was connected to God. Now, so we understand David is human, and we can continue to relate to him. Read chapter 25 and the incident with Nabal. But in this instance, in 24 and 26, David is right there walking faithfully with God. 1 Samuel 26, 23, "The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness." So let's be like David when seeking God's will. No shortcuts, no manipulation, no compromise, just righteousness and faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your discernment. We need to understand from you, when we're following you, your will for us, the path we should take, and not veering from it, not trying to take the shortcut or oftentimes the easy way out or what seems to be your will, because it's kind of laid out in front of us, but it may just be a trap of the enemy, or it may be a well-meaning friend leading us in a bad direction. Lord, keep us close to your word so that we remember what you've said and remember your character, so it will help us to identify when you are at work or when the enemy is at work. So help us, Father, to be, as David said, to be faithful, to be righteous, and to stay on that narrow path that you have cut out for us, not a shortcut that will get us in sometimes all kinds of trouble. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.